And the hand of the Lord came upon me, and God brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. God led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. God said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then God said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live." I prophesied as God commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then God said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
You may have noticed that we often talk about the exile here. And there's a reason for that, because a good part of the Bible as we now know it was written or edited by the people who were in the exile. The stories that they told one another, the literature that they preserved and edited, this was a way for them to keep their identity, to help them stand in opposition to the powers of Babylon. Today's reading was written with the people of the exile in mind. Ezekiel was caught up in the exile. He knew it firsthand. The people of the exile were those who lived the nightmare of having their lives shattered. Their nation was destroyed by the invading Babylonians. They were captives, and they were marched across the desert with little besides the clothes on their backs to be relocated to Babylon, where they would serve their new masters. People of Israel at that time had no hope of rising up against the might of Babylon. They had no hope of being able to run away, run back to Israel. In fact, they had little hope at all. Their lives and their future were best described by the prophet Ezekiel in today's reading as a valley of dry bones. It's an ancient story and an ongoing reality. The forces of domination take resources that belong to vulnerable people and then force those people into exile. Between 1830 and 1850, the Chickasaw, Choctaw, Creek, Seminole, and Cherokee peoples were forcibly removed from their traditional lands in the southeast of the United States and relocated further west. As many as 6,000 of the 16,543 relocated Cherokee people perished along the way. The forced march was called the Trail of Tears. In England, there had been a long history of common lands. These were lands where people had no land of their own, but still they could farm and support themselves. Such a system offered people in the country simple but relatively healthy lives. At about the same time as the Trail of Tears was happening, the British government passed laws called Enclosure Acts that allowed large landowners to enclose those common lands and claim them for themselves. Suddenly, people dependent on the common lands lost their ability to feed themselves. Poverty forced them into the cities, where they encountered horrible living conditions, low-paying jobs, and brutal working conditions. In the province of Nueva Vizcaya, Philippines, the government took land from the people, gave it to a corporation who dug giant open-pit mines. The corporation dumped the tailings from those mines, which washed down and clogged rivers and rice fields. The corporation used poisonous chemicals like arsenic to separate the gold from the surrounding rock. The farms and the rivers became polluted. The people had to travel long distances to obtain safe drinking water. They could no longer fish in their rivers or grow crops in their fields. And so to survive, they had to work in the mines, very difficult conditions for very low pay. These people were not forced off their land by a conquering military. Their land was taken and poisoned in the name of progress. But they're exiles just the same. They're exiles from the healthy environment they had once known. The story is played over and over again throughout time. Each act of plunder and oppression is guided by a mythology that validates that violence. The Babylonians believed that their gods were stronger and therefore superior, and that justified their actions of conquest. Americans said that their belief in a Christian God justified their theft of land and liberty from people who had other beliefs. Corporations spin the myth of growth, that somehow by cutting down forests and poisoning rivers and dumping carbon into the air, they're supporting this thing called economic growth, which in some mythical future will be good for everyone. But for the most vulnerable people, that mythical time of shared security and prosperity rarely comes. Those people risking their lives to cross the Mediterranean Ocean and those people risking their lives to get to our southern borders are exiles. No conquering army is forcing them from their homes, but conditions caused by the actions of more powerful people can be as brutal as any army. With the rise of global warming, in a few short years, those exiles will be joined by tens of millions more. We're all exiles of a sort. Few of us feel as if we are comfortable with the world around us. Most of us feel as if systems beyond our control are controlling the conditions of our lives. What are we to do when a democratic government, which was supposed to be a bulwark against the predations of the powerful, becomes a tool for exploitation? How can we possibly stand against powers that are so large that they can buy elections, destroy lives and species with great ease and little concern? We're beginning to understand what our Jewish spiritual ancestors experienced in Babylon. To the exiled people of his day, Ezekiel shared a vision. A vision of a valley filled with dried bones of long dead people. This is undoubtedly how the captives felt. They were a dead nation, with no future, with no hope. But Ezekiel imagined a conversation with the God of liberated slaves, and in this conversation, God told Ezekiel to speak truth to the bones. Not the common lies of the rulers of Babylon, but the truth offered by the God of compassion and justice. And in response to the truth told to them, the bones became living people once again. That is the job of prophets, to speak truth to places where domination has caused injury, to empower people who feel powerless. Prophets proclaim that the health of the vulnerable and not the profits of the powerful is the measure of a nation. Prophets oppose the myths that support violence and oppression and instead proclaim faith in a just and liberating path forward. Jesus was a prophet. We who choose to follow the path of Christ are called to be prophets as well. This reading today is an invitation to look upon the places that seem bleak and see what others may not be able to see. To see hope. We're called to see not just with our eyes, but to look also with our faith. We're called to perceive the possible in the midst of the disastrous. That's our calling as followers of this radically divergent truth, to speak up and act up as much as we can so that hopeless people of this looted planet will rise to life and transform the world. The people of this planet do not have time for our timidity. Those who are suffering today and the tidal wave of those who will be suffering in the future do not have time for those of us with the power and privilege to play it safe to keep silent. The promise of this passage and the whole of our faith tradition is that God stands on the side of those who suffer. Having God on our side does not mean that we can expect supernatural intervention. It means that we can expect natural inspiration. We are part of creation. God's Spirit is a natural part of our lives. We have the capacity to do amazing things. But first, we must believe that we are capable of such feats. The promise of our faith, that the power of God's love and justice is greater than the power of profit and destruction, is our truth. In the dark and difficult days ahead, the world will need those of us who look upon hopeless situations and see the potential for new life. That's our calling. To be the voice of hope to the hopeless. To unlock the miraculous potential of the angels of humanity's better nature. To proclaim and become God's good news. Amen.